Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. I'm Mark Heffernan in Bakersfield, D-Town. Gee, am I big time? Maybe Fresno sounds better, or Visalia. Any rate, my shirt is off. I'm ready to go. I've been working out today. I am pumped. Yes, sir. My email site, markheff20@gmail.com, and sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. Our number, thank you for joining us, 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Coming up in just a moment, Thomas Harding, he works for MLB.com, MajorLeagueBaseball.com, and he's working for them for many years, I guess over 20 years, grew up in Bluefield, West Virginia. Bluefield, WVA, period. It must get very cold there. You know what I mean. 347-205-9631. Okay, Jeff Blum, Saturday, Astros, Houston Astros analyst, caught on a hot mic. Outside mic is hot. You better believe we're going to Crawford Bach the blank out of his thing. Now, he didn't use a nice word there. It was a four-letter word. Now, he thought he was off the air. He should have been off the air. It was during a commercial break. But sometimes producers are sleeping, and they keep the mics on. They generally have control over mics, producers. But we have the best producer, Mark Mancini. So he was caught on a hot mic, not saying a nice thing, but has not been reprimanded. You know what I mean? NBA playoffs yesterday, Eastern Conference. The Miami Heat, 115, Atlanta, 91. Jimmy Butler, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 9 of 15 shooting. When he is right, when he is healthy, one of the best players in the NBA. Robinson off the bench, 27 points, 9 of 10 shooting. Wow. Gallinari for Atlanta, 5 rebounds. What happened to Trae Young? Mr. Young, Trae, T-R-A-E. Then the man for Atlanta, 8 points. He made 1 of 12 shots. 1 of 12. Hey. When your star has that bad of a game, you're not going to win. You'll probably get blown out. And that is what happened to the Hawks, losing 115-91 to Miami. Boston, game-winning layup by Jason Tatum. Kobe taught him everything he knows. 41 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. Boston 115, Brooklyn 114. Kyrie, Boston hates him. He's hearing it from them. They're not saying nice things to Kyrie. 49 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, he's kind of a strange dude, but he's very well-spoken, Kyrie Irving. And I'll tell you one thing. The guy's a baller, man. He can make shots from anywhere on the court, anywhere. One-on-one, going left, going right, floater, fall-away Jays, right baseline, left baseline, long threes, over-his-head shots. He has handles. Kyrie Irving, losing effort, 39 points. But where was KD? You know, Kevin Durant, easy money sniper. No, he was playing. The Bucks, 93. The Chicago Bulls, 86. Made a little run, that very little scoring affair. Giannis, 27 points, 16 boards. Vucevic, 24-17, 4 doubles. And in all those games, Miami, Boston, and the Bucks are up 1-0 in those Eastern Conference playoffs. Western Conference, the Suns kind of cruised. 110-99 over New Orleans. Check it out. CP3, Chris Paul, big game for him scoring-wise. 30 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. He's no taller than me. 5'11 and a half, 30 points. He had more points than D-Book. They lead 1-0. Okay, Major League Baseball. The Giants and the Dodgers at it again. Tied for first in the National League West. Both with the best record in the Major Leagues. San Francisco 8, Cleveland 1. Wood, Alex Wood, who pitched for the Dodgers once, or was it twice? I was never that impressed with him. But he went 5 innings, did not give up an earned run, 5 strikeouts, a couple of base on balls. Estrada, a couple of hits, 4 RBIs for the Giants. And Estrada and Belt had home runs. Brandon Belt DHing for San Francisco. Cleveland, Saval, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 innings pitched. And nevertheless, a win for San Francisco. Okay, the Dodgers defeating Cincinnati 9-1. They like San Francisco or 7-2. Heaney done well in his first two starts for Los Angeles, over six innings, did not give up an earned run, 11 Ks, 11 punch-outs, three base on balls. Freddie Freeman, 4 for 5, 3 RBIs, made a great defensive play late in the game, a shot to first base, stepped on the bag, and gunned down the runner going from third to home plate. The runner was surprised. Freddie has the arm, too. Mr. Smooth out there, and he goes to all fields and hits the ball. Hear that? Cody Bellinger, Freddie Freeman, a left-handed batter like you, hits the ball to all fields. Left field, left center field, right field, down the line. And he could jack it out every once in a while. But he's not necessarily a home run hitter, even though he had more than 30 last year. Since he pitched, went 7 earned runs, 5 Ks, a couple of base on balls. So, tonight, rematch of the National League Championship Series from last year and a big playoff series from the year before. Atlanta, of course, and the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. CK on the hill for the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw, his ERA this year, 0.00. How many hits has he given up this year? One start? No hits. Remember, he had a perfect game through 7 innings. Yes, a perfect game through 7 innings in his last outing. CK on the hill for the Dodgers. Atlanta's a tough team. Now, they lost yesterday to those Padres, 2-1. Muncy Taylor, 2 RBIs apiece for the Dodgers, who are playing good baseball. They won 6 straight. The Angels, 8. Texas, 3 in Arlington. The Halos now 6-4, and they lead the American League West. Duffy, 3 hits and an RBI for Los Angeles. 5 other players in an RBI apiece. Trout left the game after getting hit by a pitch. He is day-to-day. Mike Trout is day-to-day. But aren't we all day-to-day? The Angels, half-game lead over Houston, and they will take on the Astros today. That's the team they have trouble beating, the Houston Astros. San Diego 2, Atlanta 1. The Padres now 5-5. Darvish, who pitched great his first outing, he kind of was horrible in number 2, great yesterday, 6.2 innings, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts. Rogers got the save. Noah Cronenworth, an RBI each for San Diego. Ozuna, a solo shot for Atlanta, 1 run, 4 hits, no errors for the Braves, 2-3-0 for the Padres. This coming weekend, the Padres are hosting the Dodgers, Yeah, San Diego, Los Angeles, going at it this weekend. Okay, division races, American League East. Blue Jays on top at 6-4, followed by the Red Sox at 5-4. The National League East, the Mets are 7-3, having a great start. Spending money on their players, too. AL Central, the White Sox at 6-3. AL West, the Angels in first with a record of 6-4. And, of course, the Astros 5-4. And those teams are meeting tonight. The National League Central, the Cards are 5-3. Pujols has hit 2 home runs this season for St. Louis. And he is closing in on that big home run mark. Albert Pujols, Fat Albert, the man. The Cubs and Bucks are 5-4 in the National League Central. And, of course, Mancini's teams are doing okay, with Pittsburgh being 5-4 and the Padres at 5-5. Where is Fernando Tatis Jr.? Fernando, where are you? I won't go to a Padres game at Petco this summer unless you're playing. And I'm not seeing you against the Dodgers. That means that when and if I go to a Padres game at Petco, I'll be rooting for your team for that one game. And Tatis Jr. better be playing. National League West, the Dodgers and Giants both 7-2. Mammoth Conference Baseball, UNLV 15-3 in conference play, 25-11 overall. Nevada 12-6 in 19-15. Fresno State 9-6. Bulldogs 17-18 overall. In West Coast Conference softball picture, Lila Merrimack from Los Angeles is 5-1 and 28-13 overall. University of San Diego 4-1 and 17-25. And Santa Clara was a big rival to St. Mary's, when my dad was playing football and baseball back in the early 40s. That was their big game, Santa Clara and St. Mary's. Santa Clara 2-1 in league and 16-22 overall. It's amazing they haven't played that many games in their conference. In a Big West Conference baseball campaign, the University of California, Santa Barbara, the alma mater for my sister Cheryl, 13-2 for the Gauchos and 24-8 for the season. Cal Poly and San Luis Obispo 9-3 and 22-13. Poly was in first place a couple of weeks ago, and CSU Fullerton at 8-4 and 13-20 for the year. Our number to call today, Markman Mattis, 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. I want to hear from you. You are listeners at that number, 347-205-9631. Who are you picking in the divisional races this year in Major League Baseball? Who do you like in the National League East, the Central and the West, and the American League East, the Central and the West? Who are your favorites? And who do you think will be in the playoffs? Remember, they're adding one playoff team per league, six playoff teams in the American League and six in the National League. Remember, the DH, the designated hitter, is universal for both the American League and National League this year. Now, baseball purists, and who are baseball purists? Do they walk around with robes on or something like that? I've always wondered what it means to be a baseball purist. Oh, a baseball purist does not like the DH. I guess a baseball purist wants pitchers to hit for themselves. You know, that's the way it is. A baseball purist probably wants catchers to block home plate. They like collisions at home plate. Well, I do too, because I was not the one that was being hit. I was the hitter coming around third base. And what else would it be? Oh, a baseball purist probably would want pitchers to pitch 8 or 9 innings every game. None of this 4 and 5 inning stuff and teams using 5 to 7 relievers every game. So those are some of the things that a baseball purist would like. But a baseball purist would not want the same dimensions in all fields. That's for sure. And a baseball purist would not like stadiums with retractable roofs. They would like outdoor stadiums. They think you should play baseball when it's, 15 degrees above zero or 110 degrees above zero. That's a baseball purist. I think also baseball purists were like kind of the baggy pants and not the tight ones that they used to wear in the 70s. What else would a baseball purist like? Oh, a baseball purist probably would not like the shifts. I think they're kind of ridiculous, too. I hear they're doing away with them next year. Maybe we could find that out from Thomas Harding. So a baseball purist would not like the shifts. So, third baseman is going to play by third base. The shortstop's going to play between third base and the second base. The second baseman will be on the right side and also the first base. No, but you're not going to have any rovers for a baseball purist like you do in softball. I played some slow-pitch softball for a while. I never really liked it. But I remember sometimes I was a rover, played left center, right center. Sometimes I played center field, but they always used an extra outfielder. And I would tell the people, I don't need any help out here. This is a very, very small field. I can cover the ground. A former shortstop, third base, and second baseman in baseball, I can cover the ground in center field and softball. I mean, I ran track. I could have ran track more, but I was a baseball player, so I don't really need help because when I look at it, if there's a pop fly hidden to shallow center and I'm playing CF, I'll probably run into the rover who doesn't hear me and I say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, my ball. You know, some people don't, even when you try to communicate with them, they don't hear you. Or actually, they hear you, but they're not listening. There's a difference there. Many times people can hear you, but they're not listening, if you know what I mean. So coming up hopefully in just a moment, we have Thomas Harding from Bluefield High School, Bluefield College, and Bluefield, West Virginia. He works for MLB.com. He began covering the Bluefield Orioles when he graduated from high school. He also covered rookie, Class A, Double A, and Triple A. He wrote a little bit about the Cards before landing the Rockies beat for the Gazette in 2000 in Colorado Springs. I've been there once before. Visited folks from the family headquarters there in Colorado Springs. Beautiful area. Probably very cold during the winter. And I'm going to ask him about who his favorites are in the divisional races, who he thinks will be the home run champ in the AL and in the National League, and some breakout stars. There's got to be breakout stars. Those are not necessarily rookies this year, but breakout people, people that have, that are going to make their mark in the big leagues this year, breakout stars. Well, UCLA, the basketball team, on the lookout for Cooper Flagg. He's a 6'8", East Coast wing. He's set to graduate in 2025 from Monteverde Academy. But, you know, a lot of these guys can change their minds. Some will decide to enter the G League and make some money, making work from, what, $50,000 to $150,000 in the G League. Remember, you saw the loss to Peyton Watson. He has hired an agent. He averaged 3 points and 2.5 rebounds this year for UCLA. Came off the bench, a decent defensive player. He's 6'8", so he has a lot of potential. His only problem is he can't shoot. At least he couldn't shoot this year. He was like 20-some percent from three, and I think he was just barely over 30% overall, so kind of strange like that. But some guys leave early because somebody's getting to their heads and telling them that they're gonna make it to the NBA even though they can't shoot in college. Remember, the three-point line in the NBA is longer than a three-point shot in college or high school. So, okay. He is from Bluefield High, went to Bluefield College, and from Bluefield, West Virginia, Thomas Harden. Welcome to Markman Madness. How are you?
I feel good. I feel clean here at the ballpark. A little flustered here, having computer problems, and as you know, covering a baseball game without a working computer is not what we do these days. Maybe many decades ago, that would have been fine. So forgive me
what
if I'm a little off. I'm at Rockies
Field. Where are you
Field.
At today?
About to start. I'm at Coors
okay.
Field, Rockies Field. Phillies are in town to start a three-game set. So that's what you're hearing in the background, the early announcements and everything else.
Is it cold there or just windy?
It's pretty cool here tonight. It's going to get colder as the night goes on. We have a lot of wild swings in the weather. Like the funny thing is, if you look down on the field, there are people in short sleeves. If you look in the stands, they're in coats. So it's going to get there. It's going to get pretty cool.
Well, Thomas Harden, you began covering the Bluefield Orioles when you graduated from high school. That was a great gig. What was it like to cover a baseball when you were like 17 or 18 years old?
I'll tell you what, it was great. There was a man, rest in peace, Tom Borelli, who ended up working in Buffalo. In fact, I think the National Lacrosse Writer of the Year Award is named after him. But I was a high school football player and kind of did stuff on my school paper, and Tom got me involved in covering some Bluefield Orioles at the time. I can't remember very many players from that team, but a couple of years later, Billy Ripken was there. I think my junior year of high school was Cal Ripken Jr.'s rookie ball year. So that's kind of when all that started.
Well, how many years did you cover that team?
A couple of years there. Then I ended up going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where they ended up with a Blue Jays farm club that, to me, was one of the best Class A teams ever. I think something like between 13 and 16 guys from that team played a little bit in the major leagues. Derek Bell had a nice career. I'm sure you'll remember Louis Soho. He had come over from Venezuela. He was a really good player with that team. And it seemed like they had just a number of very good pitchers. Doug Linton, who ended up pitching in the major leagues, he's working in the Rockies organization now. So Junior Felix, Mark Witten, I mean, Derek Bell, guys all over the field from that team ended up in the major leagues.
Well, I've been to Virginia and Washington, D.C. once, but I was never in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's a nice area, isn't it? I've heard quite a bit about it, Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a if you are a hobbyist golfer, even a scratch golfer, it has, like, I think more golf courses per square mile than anywhere in the entire world. And you did get nice weather there. There was a little bit of pretty good there were a few pretty good athletes there, but really it was known for tourism and golf.
When did you eventually begin covering double-A baseball in the minor leagues?
Well, yeah, I moved to the paper in Memphis, the Memphis Commercial Appeal. And at that time, they were the double-A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. It was a little – unfortunately, I think it was 2, maybe 3 years after Bo Jackson. And it was kind of a weird era for Royals baseball because they had been really good. And in fact, people considered them, because of the contracts, guys like George Brett on that and Frank White on that team, they were considered the first big market franchise, even though Kansas City was not big. But they were starting to decline at that time. But they were the Memphis Chicks for the Chickasaw native tribe. And it was a lot of fun covering them because you got to see a lot of players come through there. For example, I guess the most famous player that I covered was Michael Jordan, because he was with the Birmingham Barons. I actually was at his opener. So it was a kind of a good time to be involved in Double-A baseball. It was during kind of an explosion of minor league ball.
Well, explain what type of baseball player Michael Jordan was.
I'll tell you what. When you look there was not an athlete on the field that was better than Michael Jordan. If you thought about it, he hadn't played baseball since seventh grade. And he ends up hitting like 205, which to me, that's a heck of an accomplishment. He was never going to be the baseball player that he was, the basketball player. And in fact, on a couple of occasions, I talked to Terry Francona, and Terry's like, you know what? If he had gotten 1,000 at-bats at the minor league level, he thought he would have been a serviceable backup outfielder in the majors, because he could go get the ball, considering how little baseball he had played. And so, yeah, we talk about the failure in baseball, but if you take a guy who hadn't done it in that long and threw him in there and he was competitive, that's pretty good. From my understanding, it sounds like he was far better than Tim Tebow when he attempted to make a baseball career with the New York Mets.
Well, Tebow played a little bit of AAA, didn't he? He played primarily AA, but he played some AAA, and he had some power, but his average wasn't too good, and I'm not sure. He had pretty good speed as far as in football field. I'm not sure if he was a base stealer or anything like that. I just saw him hit the ball from time to time, primarily as a DH, so I can't really make a comment about him. But, you know, you talk about Jordan. Let's bring up a guy who's a very good athlete, Mookie Betts. Now, Mookie was a point guard when he was growing up, all-around athlete. I hear he's a great bowler. I mean, he does everything well. What do you think if Mookie Betts decided to give up baseball for a year and try out for the NBA? Do you think he can make it as a backup point guard? Maybe he could play in the Lakers.
Well, the Lakers certainly are very
Could Mookie Betts play in the G League if he took off a year from baseball and just practiced basketball for 4 or 5 months? Could he actually be a point guard in the G League, which is sort of like, you know, a developmental league for Major League Baseball?
Yeah,
I'm just throwing it out.
I think that he could. Yeah, I think that he could, and I think it's a little bit easier to make it in basketball, frankly, than in baseball because of the specialized hitting skill involved. I would have liked to have seen Michael Jordan. He played a year in the Arizona Fall League, then a spring training, then a year in Double-A. I would have liked to have seen him come back another year just to see what he could have done. Obviously, there were a lot of adjustments he would have had to make, and I talked quite a bit to his hitting coach, his manager there. They felt like they could have gotten him a little bit further. I mean, we'll never know on him. I think that, with Tebow, I thought that he spent, 3 years in the minors, if I'm not mistaken? I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from Jordan, but obviously, he was pretty good at his day job, let's say.
Yeah, pretty good. Well, it's just kind of amazing to think about that because, Bo Jackson was a two-sport guy, a great football player, and tremendous power, was an excellent baseball player. But the thing about football, you get hit hard one time, and it can really damage not only your career but your life for a while. And, of course, Deion Sanders was a great football player, had tremendous speed, and was not a bad baseball player. He played for the Reds for a while. Deion got by, did not have great power, but, of course, they kind of hit the ball with the ball field. Was a good base runner, so he was a two-sport guy. There's also another guy that played for the Braves who actually played some football back in the day. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, Brian Jordan was, I think, at one point an all-pro safety. He's probably had the best career of the guys you talked about, but if you go back and you look at Deion Sanders' baseball reference page and some of the contributions that he made, and he kept getting traded to pretty good teams in his career. He actually was a better baseball player than we remember, but obviously, he made his mark in football. But yeah, Deion was a better baseball player than probably we remember, but definitely Brian Jordan, who I believe is doing some broadcasting for the Braves now.
Was an excellent baseball player, and I heard was a very good basketball player, was Dave Winfield.
Yeah, Dave drafted in the NBA, obviously, and just a wonderful athlete. And I never will forget, I was talking to him a few years ago, and so we were talking about playing baseball, and at the end of it, he looks at me and just and starts laughing. He goes, you know what the great thing about baseball is? It's a great job. It's athletic and everything you want. And whenever, and he goes, whenever I turn on a football game, it's, let's go to a commercial while we drag Johnny off the field. He's like, you don't get hurt like that in baseball. You can get hurt playing this game, but definitely not like football.
Well, we're talking about guys that have played two sports and could have played probably two sports professionally, which is very tough. But one guy who's a baseball player, but basically can do it all. I mean, he's playing in a major league right now. You know who he is. You would think he's playing in junior high or high school or college because he's a two-sport, two-way player, two-way star. Shohei Ohtani of the Angels, just an unbelievable type of athlete.
Yes, he is. And, I mean, I think the thing that we didn't realize was just how big of a man he is. He is a big-bodied fellow. He has all kinds of athletic gifts. And you're right. Not very many people can say that that they can do both at the level that he's done.
Well, I mean, the guy can throw over 100 miles per hour from the mound, and he can hit over 40 home runs. Now, his average has been that good recently because I think he swings for the home runs. But great power and very fast. You watch him run, he covers a lot of ground. He's faster than people think he is. He's about 6'4 or 6'5. As long as he stays healthy, that's always the key. He will continue to do, I think, unbelievable things. And the whole key for the Angels, as it is every year, they have to have solid pitching. So far they have, but they played the Texas Rangers. Now they're playing a team that has been kind of a thorn in their side, the Houston Astros. Now Houston's 5-4, the Angels 6-4. Trout got hit on the hand by a fastball. He's day-to-day. But really the star of that team right now is Ohtani. They got a pretty good lineup. But I thought that Syndergaard looked pretty good the other day. I watched him for four innings. He had one bad inning, but he did a good job over six innings. He's been solid over two starts, four from the Angels. So the key for them is to get good pitching throughout the course of the year. You know, baseball's a long season. They've only played like 10 games so far. So I think they have a pretty good offensive attack. Defense and pitching will be the key for them because they're in a tough American League West, the L.A. Angels of Anaheim.
No doubt about it. I mean, if you look at that division, the Houston Astros, they're very much the team to beat out there, but the Texas Rangers have put together a pretty good roster here. And I think that once it gels, they're going to be okay as we get ready for baseball here, of course.
Thomas Harding's my guest on Markman Madison on Blog Talk Radio. Our number 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. I'm Mark Heffernan, our producer is Mark Mancini. When did you start covering AAA baseball?
Well, what happened while I was there, there were some it was after expansion. They needed some more AAA teams, and Memphis had been a AAA town before. The old Memphis Blues were owned by the pitcher Denny McClain, and they were a AAA team of the New York Mets. They had gone to AA for a while, and then the perfect match was the St. Louis Cardinals with the Memphis Redbirds. Memphis is probably about a five-hour trip from St. Louis, but I think that the Cardinals sell something like 120,000 tickets a year in Memphis. So, you know, it's big Cardinal country.
I saw that you wrote a little bit about the Cards before landing the Rockets beat for the Gazette in 2000 in Colorado Springs. That must have been exciting to start covering Major League Baseball.
Well, yes, and I started a little bit in 97, and then 98 was a big year, obviously, with the home run race between McGuire and Sosa, and I can honestly say that it was a good time. It was a good time for baseball. The people I dealt with were good, and, you know, even Mark McGuire, with all the attention he received and everything that went with it, McGuire was a good interview and the type of guy where I could go up to and talk to, even after all the wildness of his career ended, and even when he was coaching in the major leagues, just a guy who loved baseball and loved to talk to him.
Who have been some of the favorite players you have covered for the Rockies over the years?
Well, you know, Todd Helton's the best guy they've ever had here. I thought that, and I had actually covered him some when I was in Memphis. He was a star high school player. I think I saw him win a state championship his junior year. His senior year, he didn't make it, and the championship game was pitched by Mickey Callaway and, the knuckleballer that went to the Mets, R.A. Dickey. Yeah, so I covered that game. But, yeah, and I also covered in Southern football at the University of Tennessee. Just a really normal guy for the star that he became and all the attention he received. And, you know, guys like Ubaldo Jimenez, who's a very intelligent fellow, came out of the Dominican Republic from not the richest background, but, you know, last summer he ended up getting his college degree at the end of his career. So, but there are a lot of good guys in the country here, and that's one thing I can say I've been fortunate with covering the guys.
You've been working for MLB.com for 20 years, so I guess baseball is your favorite sport, even though you said you played football in high school.
Well, baseball was probably the first sport I played, and I love to tell this story here that what happened, I was down to I was going into my high school years, and people played all the sports back then. But
yes.
If you played football, you also ran track. So I knew I was going to have to add track when I got deep. And I felt like I needed to give up a sport, and I wasn't going to give up football at the time. But I'd had the one growth spurt of my life, and I did a growth chart based on that and thought I would be 6'4". I got nowhere near 6'4". But I'd given up baseball, and I kind of regretted it.
Well, Thomas, I'd like to get some of your analysis of the races. Now, it's very early in the season, but it seems like every year you kind of have the same four or five teams, and there's a breakout team from nowhere. Who's your favorite for the American League East this year? Win it.
Okay. Well, look at the East. It's hard to figure out why the Yankees have underachieved so much, but it's almost to the point to where they're going to underachieve, so I go with the Boston Red Sox. I think when I get to the Central, my surprise team of baseball, and I'm going to have to go here because we're about to have the National Anthem, surprise team of baseball will be the Detroit Tigers, a team that will maybe even have a little bit of a playoff run.
So you're picking the Red Sox over the Blue Jays in the AL East.
Yes, I think the Blue Jays are a wild card type.
How about the West? Do you like the Astros? Or Mariners?
I like the Astros in the West. The Mariners could challenge a little bit there, but I actually think the Rangers will be the better team. And just running through the National League, I might see the Braves. I'm not sure if it's going to be the Mets or the Phillies also there. And, you know, the Cardinals, and I think that the Dodgers and Giants also will be very good. They have the anthem going here, so I'm going to have to get ready to go handle some baseball.
Okay, Thomas Harding, how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, just go to Rockies.com, MLB.com, and also Harding at MLB on Twitter.
Hey, Thomas Harding, thanks a lot for being on Markman Madness.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Okay.
And you're listening to Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. Now, I'm coming to you from Bakersfield, California. I was working out today. I've had some good workouts recently because the weather's been in the 70s or 80s. And so feeling pretty good, about 207.7 pounds. Hey, I have a digital scale. I topped out about 212, too heavy for me. And the lowest I've been, I think, over the past 5 months has been about 203, so I'm somewhere in between. My question is, where is Fernando Tatis Jr.? When's he going to show up? I know he had, you know, the wrist injury and everything, fell off a motorcycle, had an accident there. In fact, I think he fell off a motorcycle twice. And so when's it going to be available to play? Is it going to be the All-Star game or a couple of months? Fernando Tatis Jr. But we'll see what happens with there. Okay. As I look at Mountain West Conference baseball, I mentioned earlier, UNLV's having a great season. Team from Nevada, 15-3 and 25-11 overall. Nevada is from Reno, 12-6 and 19-15. And Fresno State at 9-6 and 17-18. Come on, Dogs. You're a game under 500. What's up with that? West Coast Conference softball. Lyle Marymount from Los Angeles, 5-1 in 2013. San Diego at 4-1 in 17-25. And Santa Clara at 2-1 in 16-22. In the Big West Conference baseball campaign, we have UC Santa Barbara at 13-2 and 24-8. Cal Poly and San Luis Obispo at 9-3 and 22-13. And CSU Fullerton, 8-4 and 13-20. Hey, I want to hear from you at 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Hey, you can get on the show with me right now if you'd wish. If you don't, text a question to Mark Mancini. I have some time today. Text a question. I want to get your picks for the American League and National League. Who do you think will win the divisions in both leagues? And who are you picking to represent the American League in a World Series and also the National League? 347-205-9631. Engage in a program. Connect to the program. 347-205-9631. Very good. Now, he's picking the Red Sox in the American League East. I'm going with the Blue Jays. I think Mark Mancini likes the Blue Jays. That's kind of been his team he's been watching for the last couple of years. Young team, a team that has a lot of players whose dads played in the major leagues and were stars. A lot of people probably go with the Red Sox because they're used to the pressure and they're used to winning. But I'm going with Toronto in the American League East. Remember, six playoff teams will advance from each league this year in Major League Baseball. In American League Central, I have the White Sox. Detroit may be an up-and-coming team, a possible playoff type of unit, but I'm going with the White Sox. In American League West, who am I picking? I picked the Mariners. I picked the Mariners last year. Had a strong finish to last season, a slow start this year, but remember, Major League Baseball is a long season, 162 games. We're not playing the 60-game schedule or 140-game schedule. We're playing 162 contests this year. So I like the Mariners. But you know what? I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Angels have a great season, come out on top, or at least what would be positive for the LA Angels would be to make the playoffs. And with an extra team this year, they have a chance. You have your three divisional winners and then three wildcard teams in both leagues. So the Angels have a chance. Like I told Thomas, you have to have pitching, starting pitching and relief pitching. Because I think the Angels have a pretty good lineup as long as Mike Trout, stays healthy. He only played about 1 month last year, and then, of course, the year before in the COVID season, the short season, he only played about half of the 60 games. He has to stay healthy. You know that Mike Trout has power, can hit for average, can steal bases, is a great fielder. He has to be in the lineup. They have him batting second after Shohei Ohtani right now. Got to be out there. In the National League, okay, I'm going with the Atlanta Braves in the National League East. National League Central, I'm still going with the Brewers, but, you know, the Cards and Cubs could surprise them. In the National League West, yeah, I'm a homer. I'm going with the Dodgers just slightly over San Francisco and San Diego. At this point, it looks like the National League West is a very good division because, you know, Colorado's playing well. You have the Dodgers, Giants, Colorado, and San Diego's going to come on. I'm going to get Tatis Jr. The only poor team is Arizona, so that's a pretty good league. Let me look at here. Okay. Pete from Braintree, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling today, Pete. You're picking the Red Sox, the American League East, the White Sox in the Central, the Astros in the West, Mets in the National League East, Brewers in the Central, the Giants in the West. Wild cards, you have the Rays, the Guardians from Cleveland, Seattle Mariners, Phillies, Cubs, and Rockies. And Mark Mancini doesn't like that. I haven't seen any problem with those picks. I mean, he disagrees with me. That's okay. There's a lot of teams have a chance to get it done. So he has the wild cards as the Rays, Guardians, Mariners in the American League, Phillies, Cubs, and Rockies in the National League. But there's only one problem. I don't see the Dodgers. So he doesn't think the Dodgers are going to win the National League West or make the playoffs. I kind of disagree with him there. But let's see. Red Sox, White Sox, Astros. I don't totally agree, but I see nothing wrong with those kind of picks. Mets, Brewers, Giants. Mets, a possibility, but I'm going with the Braves, as you know. I have the Brewers in the Central. And, of course, I have the Dodgers you like the Giants. Nothing wrong with that. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. I want to hear from you. We heard from Pete from Braintree, Massachusetts. What about our California listeners? Our listeners in Nevada, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Utah. How about the Midwest, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, New York? Come on now. South Carolina, Florida. Call us. What are your picks? Who do you think will meet in the World Series? Pete, you didn't say who would meet in the World Series. You told me the playoff teams. Who do you think will represent the American League and the National League in a World Series, Pete? And who else? 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Okay, Daniel. Daniel from Shaker Heights, Ohio. Thanks for texting us, Daniel. My son's name is Luke Daniel. Good name. He was a man of prayer, Daniel. Okay, the Rays, Royals, and Angels in America League to win. Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and the Angels. And nationally, he picked the Nationals in the East, Cardinals in the Central, and the Padres. He must be a friend of Mark Mancini. The Padres in the National League West. Wild cards, he has the Orioles. Are you kidding me? The Orioles, the White Sox, and the Angels. And in the National League, the Dodgers, Padres, and Braves. So he figures that the Giants are going to win the National League West, and the Dodgers and Padres from the same division will be in the playoffs, sort of like last year. Okay, Earl from Spokane, Washington. He likes the Mariners, the Mets, and the World Series. Very interesting. The Seattle Mariners, Emerald City, against the New York Mets in the World Series. Thank you very much, Earl. Really cool. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Anne, how are you doing? She is a frequent listener to all the programs on Mancini Media. Anne from Huntington Beach, a great place. Hey, Anne, are you at the beach right now? Is it a beautiful day at the beach? She's going with the Padres, the Pods, the Friars, the Astros in the World Series. So Anne thinks that Tatis Jr. is going to come back and lift the Padres not only to the probably division crown of the National League West, but also eventually to the World Series. And then we take on those hated Houston Astros in the World Series. Padres, Astros, World Series. You know, my pick for the World Series is the Dodgers, Los Angeles Dodgers. Who am I picking? Who do I pick the Dodgers to meet in the World Series? The Dodgers to beat Atlanta. I picked the Dodgers to beat Atlanta in the National League Championship Series. I'm trying to figure out who do I pick for them to meet in the American League. And I played Tampa Bay a couple of years ago. Toronto, Chicago. I think the Dodgers will meet the Chicago White Sox in the World Series. The Dodgers against the Chicago White Sox in the World Series. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. This is Markman Madness on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mr. Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. You can get in touch with me a lot, have lately, at markheff20@gmail.com, markheff20@gmail.com, or sportswrapnet@yahoo.com, sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. Okay, we have somebody, Frank from Dodger Stadium. What's up, Frank? Chavez Ravine, listen to us live. Yes, we're live right now. These listeners are dumb Dodgers. Okay, you have the Dodgers against the Yankees in the World Series, an American tradition, okay? Tonight, we kill a tomahawk chop. Now, tonight, Clayton Kershaw is pitching for the Dodgers, had a perfect game through seven innings in his first start, and his ERA is 0.00. He hasn't given up a hit. Frank, listening from Dodger Stadium, thank you very much. Chavez Ravine, probably a very nice, cool evening in Los Angeles. You like the Yankees against the Dodgers in World Series? Who do you like tonight, the Dodgers or the Braves? Do you have a score, Frank? A score for me. Is it going to be 4-2 L.A., 5-3 Los Angeles, 7-4? Or is it going to be a lower-scoring game like 3-1 L.A.? Because we know that the Dodgers are going to win, and they will have a sellout crowd tonight in Los Angeles. Frank, text us back and give us your score and who's going to win tonight. Okay, 11-3 Doyers All right. Dodgers are going to match the ball. 11-3. Doyers. Los Doyers over the Braves. Feel that tomahawk chop tonight in Los Angeles as the Dodgers go for win number 7 in a row. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Yeah, I thought my interview with Thomas Harding would be about 10 minutes longer and didn't realize he'd be calling from a baseball game, I guess, in Colorado. Was that 1 or 2 hours away from us? Apparently the game started at the bottom of the hour or 35 after the hour. And so as we wrapped up our interview, they were playing the national anthem. So I was hoping to go until about 40 after the hour, 45. But you know what? This gives me a chance to hear from you, our listeners, either on the phone or as you text Mancini. Okay, Dodgers. You're so good. 3 of them cost me. Oh, Dodger dogs. Dodger dogs are good. It costs you $21. Is that $7 a piece for a Dodger dog? 3 of them cost me $21. Is it $7 a piece for a Dodger dog or $21 a piece for a Dodger dog? Mark Mancini was at the Dodger game yesterday, and he had box seats. And he was telling me how expensive it was for T-shirts and paraphernalia and all that kind of stuff, Dodgers. So he and his friend got something to eat prior to coming to the stadium, and they allowed Mancini to come to the gate. They didn't do a double check on him. They didn't check him out. I guess everything's cool. And, you know, we know that price for Cokes and soft drinks and probably beer are astronomical at Dodger Stadium. I know they raised the prices for parking. I guess he and his friend parked outside the stadium, so they had a little bit of a walk. Nevertheless, Mancini is a Padres fan, and the Dodgers impressed him very much. They got to a 7-0 lead and won 9-1 yesterday over Cincinnati and swept that 4-game series. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631 is your number to text or call in to Mark Men Madness. I want to know from you, who are you picking in the divisional races in Major League Baseball? Who are your picks? Who would you like to see in the World Series? And you know, you want to switch to basketball. Who do you think is going to represent the Eastern Conference and Western Conference in the NBA Finals? The Eastern Conference and Western Conference in the NBA Finals. Last night in the East, Miami clobbered Atlanta 115-91. Was Boston 115, Brooklyn 114 on a last winning layup by Jason Tatum. Was the Bucks, the Milwaukee 93, the Chicago Bulls 86. In the West, it was the Phoenix Suns 110 and New Orleans 99. Okay. Al from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thank you so much, Al, for calling the program. $151 for a burger in Atlanta. What? $151? You got to be a millionaire. Do you deal with crypto? Cryptocurrency. $151 for a burger in Atlanta. You guys all crying about a $7 hot dog. We sold 88 of them here the first week. $151 for a hot dog. Are you kidding me? Well, how big's a hot dog? Is it 50 feet? Or is it like 7 inches? Thanks a lot, man, for calling Al from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Man, we get calls from everywhere. Al, you didn't tell me who your picks are in the division races for Major League Baseball. Who do you think will meet in World Series, in the Major Leagues in the World Series? Okay. Or, like I said, you can call us at 347-205-9631 and tell us who do you think will meet in the NBA Finals. Will it be a rematch of last year between the Phoenix Suns and Milwaukee Bucks, or will somebody else get in? Now, I'm picking Phoenix against the Miami Heat. Phoenix, the Suns against the Heat. Hey, man, it's going to be hot. Finals, right? The Suns and the Heat. Check it out online or tell your Joe Cocker producer, check it out. Rays, nothing else matters. Okay. Yes, Mark Mancini is a Joe Cocker of podcasting. He is the godfather of podcasting. Mark Mancini. Mancini Media, my producer. I mean, this dude is on a lot of programs. You should check out Mancini Media during the week. I know there's the program from Cleveland, historical podcast of Peter. I think it's on, I'm not sure if it's on, Mark would know, 2 o'clock Pacific time or 5 p.m. Pacific time. Mark either produces shows or he's on shows, he's co-host. And so he has something to do with about every program, every podcast that is on Mancini Media. He has his own studio at his house, at his home, you know, in Southern California. He is the man. He is the man. Radio background. Radio, the greatest medium. Better than television. Better than streaming. Radio was there first. The pioneer. It's going, going. It's not gone, man. It's not gone, right? Okay. Somebody's saying, Hawks taking the title in the NBA. Atlanta Hawks down one game to nothing in their Eastern Conference Series against Miami as they lost 150-91. Trae Young, 8 points. 1 of 12 shooting for Trae. And Gallinari, 17 points, 5 rebounds. And that game, Robinson came off the bench, 27 points, 9 of 10 shooting for Miami. Butler, Jimmy Butler, yeah, he has a little bit of an attitude. He's a very good player when he's healthy. He's a leader. 21 points, 9 of 15 shooting, 6 rebounds for Jimmy Bucks. Remember, they played the Lakers in 2020, and they had trouble stopping that dude. So the Hawks have a long road to the title. But we got a guy from Atlanta who's picking the Hawks in the title, NBA, 5 p.m. Tuesdays. Okay, very cool, very cool, very cool. Okay, so, like I said, Miami, Boston, and the Bucks won yesterday in the Eastern Conference, and the Suns easily defeated New Orleans in the West, have games tonight, playing right now, Toronto and Philadelphia, Philly up 1-0 on that. We have the Jazz against the Mavs. I'm going with Dallas, with or without Luka Doncic. I'm going with the Mavs. He gets up that series 1-1. The game is in Dallas. Then we have the Warriors and the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets, Denver, yeah, they have the Joker, the Joker. Will he win the MVP again? The Joker, Nikola Jokic. Will he do it again? But what does he have around him? Curry's back for the Warriors, came off the bench. Did a good job the other day. Poole had 30 points. I'm going with the Golden State Warriors at home tonight over the Nuggets and expecting to go up 2-0 in that Western Conference Series. I'm picking the Mavs to even up their series with Utah one apiece. And I'm going with the 76ers, who Mancini likes, to go up 2-0 against Toronto. Hey, maybe Nick Nurse will be available sooner rather than later for Toronto to become the Lakers' next head coach, as his team will get knocked off in the first round. Maybe Toronto won't want him anymore. Yeah, I know he was 48-34 this year, had a good season. Won the championship with Kawhi Leonard a couple years ago. We'll see what happens with that. Some players like him to be the next coach. Some don't. Not much difference with the Lakers going forward. You got to have the talent. And you got to have talent that meshes together very well, that mixes together, that is on the same page physically, emotionally, and mentally. And the Lakers haven't had that this year. Didn't have it last year. 2 years ago in the bubble, prior to the stoppage of the season, Lakers, I think, were the second or third best, had the second or third best record in the NBA. They came back and played very well in the bubble. Not initially, but eventually they did. Defense was strong, got rid of some of those players for Russell Westbrook, some of their best defensive players on the perimeter. And that year they just came up big, made clutch shots, hit free throws. And Anthony Davis was a much better player 2 years ago than he is now. If you watch him on some of the highlights, quicker footwork, better shooter. I mean, at times the last 2 years, he's looked pathetic. I know he's been injured quite a bit, but, you know, they're paying him a lot of money. He's not even playing half of the season. So the question to you, should they trade Anthony Davis for players or one player and some draft picks? Should the Lakers trade LeBron James? Should the Lakers trade Russell Westbrook for a couple of players and maybe a draft pick? What gives? I don't think the answer is bringing all three of those guys back and trying to add around them, because I don't think they play that well together, even when they're all healthy. And how many games did Russ and LeBron and AD play together this year? What was their record? I do know that when LeBron and AD played together on the court at the same time, there was still not a 500 team. And as you know, they finished well under 500. So we're not talking about a team that competed for the championship or for the conference crown. We're talking about a team that couldn't even make it into the playing game. You know, 4 years ago, they would have been out of the playoffs a month before the end of the regular season, because the first 8 teams basically made it to the playoffs in the East and also in the West. They added the play-in tournament when teams were competing in the bubble in Florida to make it more exciting for teams that, you know, were on the outside looking in by 1 or 2 games. So that made it exciting. They decided to go with it to give teams that are the 9th or 10th seed a chance to make it into the tournament. But still, the odds are against a team in either conference, a team that finished the regular season number 9 or number 10 in the East or West to actually win a first-round series in the NBA playoffs. The odds are against them doing that. And if they win a first-round series, the odds are still against them winning a second-round series and definitely not a conference championship or the NBA Finals. It's just very, very, very tough. A lot of parity in the NBA. But I'm picking the Phoenix Suns to represent the West against the Miami Heat in the East. I'm going with the Suns. Big performance by CP3 yesterday, 30 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. He was injured quite a bit this year, so maybe his legs are healthy right now. D-Book also had a big game as they kind of cruised to that particular title, that win. Phoenix, but I think there's pressure on Phoenix to win it this year. Because, you know, last year they were up 2-0 on Milwaukee in the finals. Milwaukee came back and won 4 straight. And Phoenix could have won any of those games. They just didn't do well down the stretch. And I think a lot of teams have to go through adversity to win a championship, whether it's in the NBA, the Major League Baseball, or in the NFL. Look at the Rams, getting close a few years, you know, getting knocked off in the playoffs in the first round, winning a game, losing at Green Bay. And they got a break when San Francisco won at Green Bay because the Rams don't play well at GB. They rarely beat Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. They got a break from their arch rival, the Niners, when the Niners knocked off Green Bay on the road in cold weather. And then the Rams had to deal with their nemesis and had to come from behind and beat San Francisco at home at SoFi before they got to the championship. And then they defeated a very good Cincinnati Bengals team who came on strong in the latter part of the year. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today on Markman Madness. I appreciate the questions. We'll be doing this more often. If I want to get a sense of how you're feeling about things, who your picks are for, you know, Major League Baseball, NBA Finals, what you think about football coming up, we'll do a little segment coming up next week about who do you think the breakout stars will be in Major League Baseball. Will the breakout stars be in the NFL coming up? Not so much rookies, but maybe guys that have been in the league for a year or 2 years, and all of a sudden it clicks for them. The game slows down, and they become stars. We see it in sports all the time, so we'll be checking that out about that. But like I said, big game tonight between the Angels and Houston Astros. The Halos are 6-4 coming in. They lead the American League West. And the Astros are 5-4. And Houston has been a thorn in the side for the Halos over the years. But Houston's been a great team. So here's the whole thing. Halos have to beat them. Hopefully Mike Trout can play, if not tonight, in one of these games. And they can get great pitching. The Dodgers and Giants, you know, a lot of Dodger fans think the Giants are going to fade away. I don't really think so. The Giants have great pitching. Their stars have not given up more than 2 runs in a game for 9 consecutive games. They don't have a real impressive lineup, but they play solid defense. They're a smart team, excellent pitching, starters, and bullpen, and they get timely hits, even without Buster Posey. So don't take San Francisco lightly. I don't. And the Padres will get better once they get Tatis Jr. They kind of have to weather the storm right now. Pitching's been pretty good this year. Offense has been a little bit down, a little bit up and down. They're 5-5, and they'll play the Dodgers in a big series coming up this weekend. Tonight, the Dodgers taking on Atlanta. And, of course, in the NBA, we have Philly against Toronto, Jazz, and the Mavs, and Nuggets and the Warriors. I'm Mark Heffernan. Thanks for listening to Markman Madness. You're on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. My name is Mark Heffernan, M-H, Mark Heff. And my email site, gmail.com, markheff20@gmail.com. Or sportsrapnet at yahoo.com, sportsrapnet@yahoo.com. Thank you so much. God bless you. I will talk to you next week right here on Blog Talk Radio for MMM, Markman Madness on Blog Talk Radio. Good night. Take care. I'm California Dreamin'.